You're listening to Dr. Bill Cortestis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi on It's Complicated, the podcast that uncomplicates the mental and physical aspects of life and the aesthetic surgery to help anyone committed to achieving their personal best.
All right, everybody. G here, and we're going to talk about having surgery under local and what procedures you can do easily under local that you can do and you can just move forward. Top procedure for under local.
I didn't realize how many people are nervous and scared about general anesthesia, and they just do not want to go under general anesthesia. And I'm one of these people. I'm a little bit of a control freak.
Yep.
Shocking if you didn't know who I am. But part of that is like I don't like not being in control of my body. And so for me, doing things under local would be absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I think it's a growing part of our field, and I think people want to have procedures done under local anesthesia. So to your question, what things can you do? Any facial procedure you want can be done very easily under local anesthesia.
So then perks though. So I'm the patient and I'm like, well, should I do it under local or should I do it under general? What do you recommend?
I would say whatever the patient ultimately wants. And the reason for that, you give them the option. Again, if you're me and you're a control freak, heck yeah, local anesthesia all day long. But it's also your pain tolerance level. If you're one of these individuals that are squirmy and you can't deal with needles or the one little ounce of pain is gonna, you're not a candidate for local anesthesia. But if you can tolerate it and you don't want to go asleep, local is the bomb. And like I said, you can do eyes, facelifts, neck lifts. Mm-hmm. Liposuction can be done under local anesthesia. You can do some small excisional procedures under local anesthesia. Mm-hmm. Hair transplantation under local anesthesia.
Totally.
So it's a pretty remarkable thing we do. I mean, how about you? I mean, I've talked a little bit about what would you want?
Here's my deal. Like, I don't want to feel like shit afterwards. So I have a phobia of getting anesthesia that I'm going to feel bad because I'm worried about throwing up. Like, if I throw up, I'm dying. So I have a...
Like you're on a boat.
Yeah. Oh, I get so sick on boats and like I don't want to have that feeling after. So that's my fear. And so typically that's an important thing about local. With local you have less incidence of postoperative nausea and vomiting because you're getting less volatile anesthetics. Now I just wanted to say something. We don't poo-poo anesthesia because we're able to do anesthesia in an incredible way and have very low incidence. But there's no doubt if you get local anesthesia, you can rebound and you have essentially no real hangover, like anesthesia hangover.
The other part is a caretaker. You know, if you have general anesthesia, you need somebody with you for 24 full hours by your side. Right. And that's a little known fact that, you know, patients don't necessarily know. And so with local, you don't have to have somebody with you for those first 24 hours. And so if you live alone or, you know, you don't have a significant other, local may be a better option for you.
No doubt. And I think patients need to understand what it means to get local. What does local mean? Local means that you use something called an anesthetic like lidocaine. Most people have heard the word lidocaine or marcaine or bupivacaine or ropivacaine. There's a bunch of these. And that local anesthesia often will have something called epinephrine in it. And so when you do go to get local, no matter what, there has to be a stick. And that stick obviously can cause pain. But what we can do with that local is we can add something called buffer to it. So that actually, because usually when you use just local by itself, it burns while they're injecting it. But we can add buffer to it so that it's more isotonic or the pH is more balanced to your body so it hurts a little less. And so that can make it better. What we'll do in our practice is we'll also give them potentially a little oral relaxation medicine like a Valium, et cetera, which is an anxiolytic, which kind of lowers that anxiety level. And when I say the word anxiety, it's important because it's a little segue. If a patient, I'm looking at her or him, anxious as hell, freaking out about having this surgery and think, yeah, I want to do it under local. I want to do it under local. And you're like, hold on. How do you normally do with pain? Or do you like the idea of us, you know, making incisions or using a needle and a knife somewhere close to your eye? And you can just, and quickly you realize this person is probably not the best candidate because we've all been there where you have a situation where you're doing something under local and they're just not a good match. Because what you don't want to do is be caught with your pants down during an intervention. So sometimes
you got to keep your pants up, G.
Always keep your pants on. No. So I think that's an important thing, right? Don't walk around with your pants off. It's just going to get you into trouble, right? And so same with surgical intervention. But most people do phenomenal with it. And we have other tools now where we can use something like Pronox, which is inhaled nitrous, essentially, that will, again, take the edge off. And so there are lots of things that we can do under local that do phenomenal.
I always tell them it's like one or two glasses of wine.
Right.
You know, it disinhibits them ever so slightly so you can do what you need to do. Your practice. What are the top three procedures you perform currently under local anesthesia?
Number one is for sure upper lid blepharoplasty, which is an eyelid lift where you remove that extra skin and close it. And the idea for that is to get rid of the hooding around the eyes just so people look more
such
alert.
Such an amazing operation. 20 minutes, 20 refreshed,
minutes. Yep.
Really no downtime, pretty
next,
remarkable.
Next one is central lip lift, upper lip lift is probably two now. And some of these are changing, you know, because there's different things that are hot and that are not. And then the next one is probably under your chin contouring, like either a neck lift or liposuction under the chin. But I will say, though, there's some other ones that have become a little bit more popular, too.
I always walk in the room and see G doing dimple creation.
Yeah, dimples.
I think he creates like 1 million dimples in Charlotte.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, like, that procedure is incredible, and the results are remarkable. And I think people are just amazing. They're beautiful in their own right. But when you add dimples to patients and they're actually dynamic, so you'll create a little indentation, and then when they smile, you can see it. It's pretty awesome. But the patients, more than anything, are thrilled with it. They're thrilled. And it takes like literally 15 to 30 minutes, no external incision at all. Buccal fat's another one we do under local always.
You know, I do a ton of implant removals under local anesthesia or potential even implant exchanges.
100%.
If it's just for size discrepancies.
Yeah, and I think the crazy thing is the area that you're actually working at and having to make an incision is extremely small. And the best thing about it, though, is like the patients walk themselves out. And they can carry on with their day. So I think there is something that we have to pay respect to. As surgeons, we sometimes are just like, we just don't want them to be, you know, moving. We want them to be calm and collected. But I think that a lot more things that we do actually can be done under local.
If you're a patient, how do you bring this up to your surgeon?
Well, I think that, ask them. I think you need to.
Am I a candidate for local anesthesia?
Yep. And so sometimes, here's the converse. Then the patient's like, well, it's local, so good. I want you to do my tummy tuck and liposuction and fat grafting under local.
Yeah, so there is some limitations with local. You know, to that, some of those medicines you were naming, they have maximums that you could actually give somebody because if you give more than that, they can be detrimental. And so in those cases where you're doing larger surface areas, those cannot be done under local anesthesia just because of the fact that you're having to give too much of that medication.
Yep, and I will say, because we like to really just always be accurate versus just, you know, saying something, if somebody says, oh, we need to fact check that podcast, is that there are ways to do those things under local. We have some colleagues like Gruber down in Florida, who's a pioneer in local procedures and doing practically everything under local. But the key is you do have to segment them off and you can do things more compartmentalized. And then you can use different concoctions or different type of formulations in that local. So sometimes you really can do that. There are situations where I do a better job with a patient getting anesthesia. And that's me and you. And so I think that we have to be very poignant about that. At the end of the day, the patient typically wants the best outcome. You as a surgeon want the best outcome. So I think at times we have to modify that. But anytime that I think we can do something under local, I think it makes sense.
But this is a really good follow-up to this anesthesia question. What is really considered general anesthesia? And is general anesthesia all the same or is it not?
That's a great point. And I think you're right, because if you did local, for example, and you give two agents, you're kind of, it's almost in a state of like conscious sedation. And what does that mean?
So I tell everybody that anesthesia is a gradient. Mm-hmm. You can go really light or you can go as aggressive to the point where you're not breathing on your own.
Yes.
And you need a breathing tube to help you breathe.
Yeah.
Or you can go really light where you're not cognizant of what's happening, but you're still breathing on your own. Mm-hmm. And there's different levels of what that ultimately means. But if you're giving a couple of material drugs, that's considered general anesthesia.
It's very interesting. And then the other thing is, so let's just say that someone wants to do something under local, but really what they're getting is kind of a deeper sedation. Or if someone's doing something under TEVA. So the idea of TEVA means all the anesthesia is being given through your IV. There's nothing going through your mouth. Now, an example like when you get your colonoscopy, right? Using propofol, et cetera. But there are instances where even though you can do that, and we talk to our anesthesia providers, their thing is like, listen, we can run TEVA, but we just need to protect the airway. And I think patients need to understand what that means. Protect the airway means that sometimes if you get a little bit too much anesthesia or there could be a choke event or a little aspiration and then that some fluid can go down the wrong tube, meaning not your esophagus, but it can go down into your windpipe. you can get something called aspiration pneumonitis and a bagged issue. So sometimes we actually need to just protect the airway. And you can actually run them on a very low-level anesthesia, and the patient's not paralyzed, is breathing on their own. So I think we just have to be careful, because sometimes being a cavalier, or being like, oh, we can do all of this under local, it's no problem. And then we found that some of our colleagues are giving these huge whopping doses of oral agents. So you can get a respiratory depression, and you can get a potential issue. So it's like, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And you just got to always think and be ready for the worst.
And don't be caught with your pants down.
Don't be caught with your pants down.
Links to learn more about anything mentioned on today's show are available in the show notes. To learn more about Dr. Bill Cortesis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi and the entire team of HKB Cosmetic Surgery, just go to hkbsurgery.com or follow HKB on Instagram at HKB Cosmetic Surgery. Subscribe to our newsletter for key takeaways from each episode, links to any resources we discuss, and promo codes or giveaways from HKB and our partners. If this show has helped you in any way, if you learned something, write a review on Apple Podcasts and share the podcast with a friend. Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code PODCAST to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more. It's Complicated is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.